It's as if Hallmark and the movie Mannequin had a baby and asked Disney to raise it. We're talking to Mom for Christmas. Hit it. It was 1990. NASA deployed the Hubble Space Telescope. The official demolition of the Berlin Wall began in June. Microsoft released Windows 3.0, and Olivia Newton-John starred in her very own Mannequin movie. I'm your host, Jerry D, with another episode of Totally Rad Christmas, the podcast that talks all things Christmas in the 80s. Toys, movies, specials, music, and fads. If it was gnarly during Christmas in the 80s, we got it covered. Now, joining me is a very special guest. You'll know her as one of the hosts of the Way Cool Netflixmas podcast, Holly Cuomo. Holly, how's it going?
I'm good.
Are you sure?
I made you watch this movie. I feel so bad.
No, it's okay. It's okay. I don't mind. I mean, I love the 80s, but you know, let's face it, not everything from that era is gold. And you know, this. Even though it's kind of on the cusp of the 90s there, it's still, it counts, and it is what it is, and I'll try to watch it through that lens, I suppose.
It is what it is a good description of this movie.
Oh, man. Yeah, this one was very interesting. I did not realize that it was produced by Disney and Walt Disney Television. So, I mean, everything about it, like the whole production value just did not seem Disney, like at all.
No, it didn't. It felt like a buddy of some producer had a mall and they were like, let me put all my friends in this movie and Olivia Newton-John.
Like, well, she's probably the, they probably got her for scale.
Yeah. Well, she was like 42 when that movie came out.
Yeah.
Like, she was like, this is my comeback after Xanadu. I got this.
Well, it was like her first role in like 7 years, something like that. Like, I think her last movie was like in 83. And so, yeah, this is supposed to be, you know, something, I guess. I don't know.
She was on the soundtrack for sure, because I could hear the songs.
Yeah.
And I could hear her singing it, which, I mean, she hit those high notes, but damn. Rough.
Yeah. And it's, you know, they weren't like terrible songs, but they weren't spectacular songs either. You know, they were just kind of there. And I think if they had been written or sung actually like at a different time, like if she had recorded it maybe like in the late 70s, I think they would have been like big hits. But because they were in the 90s, they felt like stale, I guess.
Yeah, I liked that riff, that like beginning and end, like dun 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 dun. That was pretty tight. with the flutes and the synths. That was pretty cool. I was into that. And then she started singing over. I was like, oh no.
Yeah, it was pretty melancholy. But again, like I could see it being a thing if it was like in the late 70s. So I don't know. I think she maybe recorded it and then like saved it for later. And then, you know what? I've got a song that would fit this movie or something. I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, this one was kind of rough. And I mean, I'm fortunate to say that I actually have no memory of this movie at all. So as far as nostalgia goes, I'm going to have to rely maybe on you, I suppose, or because when I asked you to be on the show and I gave you some suggestions and you actually decided to go off book and pick this one, which is cool. I love it when guests do that, but this one was odd. And so I just, I mean, even for some of the stuff that I covered and I mean, I did the Monsters Christmas, which is like bananas, but yeah. This one is odd. Yeah.
So like I saw this movie because we usually talk, I love romances. I love Christmas romances. I don't care how cheesy they are. And yeah. I vaguely remember this movie from, you know, when we first moved to the United States from the Philippines. So like my mom, you know, just got here and I think she recognized Olivia Newton-John. Mm-hmm. So I would watch this movie and it has that like, well, it had that same place in my heart as like Splash and Cocoon, like that kind of feel.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, I remember that movie. Let's do that one. And then I rewatched it and I was like, this is a mistake. And it is like literally ruined all those warm and fuzzy feelings that I had associated with this movie.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I need to let some things die and I will gladly let that die forever. This is so rough to get through. I had to force myself to watch it.
Yeah. And like I was telling you earlier, before we started recording, I was fortunate in that I didn't have a chance to watch it until today. And so I kind of had to watch it in chunks today because of work and things like that. And so while it seems like it would be long, it actually was probably better because I got it in like shorter segments. And so those segments were more digestible.
Yeah.
And I'm the same way. I love, you know, I'm not afraid to admit it. I love those cheesy Hallmark movies, even that dumb Night Before Christmas or whatever it was called with Vanessa Hudgens, you know, that one's
so great.
I even like that one, you know, I still like that one. Or what's the other one? Dear Santa with Amy Acker. I like that one too. I mean, it's they're terrible movies, but I love them because you can turn your brain off and just enjoy the Christmas of it, you know, there's always like a happy pattern. Ending. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that's like really comforting. But this one, I don't even know if you can call it a romance because they focus more on the relationship between, you know, Olivia Newton-John and the little girl than they do between her and the dad. So that when they actually start to like do something romantic,
it's so weird.
Out of the blue. Yeah. It's
it's cringy and weird. I hate it. As an adult in my 30s, I watch this and I'm like, this is not correct. This is not right. Like, no. No, this is not a nanny situation that I want to get into. This is not Sound of Music. I don't like this.
No, it definitely was like in left field there. But bottom line, if you want to nutshell this movie, it's basically a girl who lost her mom, makes a wish, and a mannequin comes to life and is her mom for the holidays. That's like the nutshell version of it. And of course, we'll get into it. There's like a weird subplot with the detective that like completely could have been done away with. And I don't think it would have made any difference.
Yeah, he's like a mall cop detective. I don't know what he is.
It's very strange. I mean, I don't remember mall detectives in the 80s. Maybe they're a thing, but as far as I know, they're not a thing.
Yeah, I was really confused and he was a weird antagonist too, because like he was barely in it.
Yeah,
absolutely unnecessary.
That's what I mean. Like they could have completely done without that whole subplot. And it could have just been focused on the, that she only had till Christmas Eve to, you know, to be alive. And then, you know, it would have been like that pressing, you know, I need to get everything done in this amount of time kind of thing. But instead they throw in, like you said, they throw in this antagonist out of nowhere. And it's just, it's very confusing because it doesn't really go anywhere except to get a laugh at the end. Laugh.
Yeah, when he like dies from seeing a mannequin come to life. Now I think they could have like taken out the mall cop detective man and then developed the romance more. I think that could have been like a point of conflict. Like, oh, I'm falling too much in love with this dad that's a really bad actor. I don't want to leave. This is why I can't leave.
Yeah, well, it kind of reminded me of that Hallmark movie with Summer Glau, where she's an elf, and then she ends up like she goes to help a family out, and she ends up falling, I think, for the brother of the mom of the family. And
I don't remember seeing that one.
Yeah, I mean, it's very very similar. She shows up, she's like their nanny essentially, and so she starts falling for the brother, but she's got to leave. And then in the end, you know, her Christmas gift from Santa is that she gets to stay and become human and, you know, whatever. But it kind of reminded me of that. It was like even worse, you know, like even more poorly done, which is a shame because, I mean, it's Disney. I like Olivia Newton-John. I always have since, you know, since I saw her in Grease. But it just, it doesn't land. Like, it doesn't stick the landing, like, at all. And I hate to say that about anything from this era, but I mean, it's true. It's very true.
Gotta have the bad with the good.
That's true. Yeah.
I remember Flock of Seagulls' hair. Oh, this was the Flock of Seagulls' hair of movies.
Of movies, yeah. For sure.
I literally got bored in the middle of watching it and I had to like snap myself out of it. And then I did the same thing again today. I got bored at the exact same part. I was like, oh, I gotta just keep watching it. Cause it was a part where all the mannequins come to life, or all the Christmas ornaments come to life. And I was like, why are they coming to life? I keep forgetting because I'm not watching.
But isn't it funny? It like leaves so many like questions unanswered. So like, does she still have the power to make like mannequins come to life? Because that's like rad. That's really cool. But
that would be cool. Also creepy. I was like, they apparently have seen, they were like, hey, I watched Doctor Who and we want to make it like cooler and more romancy.
It is very creepy because it almost seems like they're all alive, just trapped in this form, you know? And it's like, well, like where are their consciousnesses? Like, you know, do they have spirits or souls or whatever? And, I mean, it's just, it's like, there's so many like questions that I want answered.
They had to get the Toy Story idea from this movie. It is like Toy Story and an episode of Doctor Who just combined to make a really boring Olivia Newton-John movie.
Yeah, you're right. As inspired by Mannequin.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of bad when Mannequin 2 is better than your movie.
Oh, man.
Can you believe this is based on a book?
Yes, I can believe it's based on a book.
It was called A Mom by Magic by Barbara Dillon. And I was reading some of the reviews and a lot of people have like a lot of fondness for the book. They said the movie improves on a few things here and there, but like the ending, I guess the ending in the book is pretty lackluster. I don't know. I've never read it, although I kind of want to read it now just to see.
Okay, the movie improves on some aspects of the book?
It does, yep.
Oh, I can't even imagine what the improvements are.
I don't know. All I know is that I guess they cut out like a couple of scenes with like snowman and like when the family is baking together. And then it just says the finale is particularly lackluster and this is where the film shines. So I guess the film does the finale better.
There were just sparkles.
Yeah, pretty much.
There were just tears and sparkles at the end. That's it. Jeez. No. I don't want to read the book. I usually like reading the books that go along with the like awful movies. Uh-huh. I like to see where the differences are, but I don't even want to read this book.
Oh, no. So, that's a shame.
No, nope, I wish I didn't know how to read now because I didn't read the book.
Oh man, A Mom for Christmas, the movie to make you not want to read. But I guess we can get into the plot because I don't think each of us have any real nostalgia for this film, especially after watching it again. No. Which, you know, let me apologize to you again for for having all your warm fuzzy memories just completely erased.
No, it's okay. I'll just go watch Mannequin 2 and I'll come back.
Hollywood. I love Hollywood. So the story is about a little girl. I think she's like 11. Her name is Jessica Slocum. Mm-hmm. And I swear when I first saw it, I thought she was Anna Chlumsky. Like, I really thought she was a girl from My Girl.
Okay, so I thought she was a girl from Secret Garden.
Oh, yeah. I could see that, too.
She looks like both of them combined. I was like, is that Secret Garden girl? Looks like her. And then I was like, no.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. Especially because she had that hat, you know, that, like, late blossom 80s, hat. Early 90s. Yeah, the blossom hat. It's funny because I'm looking at the clothes and... I mean, there's even like a terrible line later on about, you know, like, what did she say? Something like, oh, nice outfit. I think I could say that about 100 other girls here or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of like dumb lines like that. But I mean, every once in a while, one of them would make me smirk, but not like laugh, you know, just kind of like that kind of a thing, you know, just keep going. And
Yeah.
But it just, it wasn't great.
No,
and it's a shame, but Yeah, so her mother died when she was like 3, and her dad is basically a workaholic.
Mm-hmm.
And so he ignores her. It's all about work, that kind of thing. And we kind of start off at the mall, I think, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it starts off at the mall. She's admiring some of the jewelry and clothes, but mostly she goes to that store, Williman's, to people watch. You know, she goes to watch like moms shop with their daughters because she's missing that.
She's so sad. She's such a sad girl.
Yeah, and it, I mean, of course, they pretty much say that like her peers, you know, her friends are, they think she's weird.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I mean, I get it, but I mean, but come on, the girl lost her mom when she was young. I mean, that's not cool. I mean, but I know kids, and of course, I probably would have said the same thing.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it's just, it's one of those that's, it's just so odd. And she's there watching. And then after heckling some popular kids or whatever, she runs into a friend of hers, like an actual friend of hers who even admits she thinks she's weird too.
Yeah.
Which is always fun. But then they, from there, they decide to go and make a wish in this like fake wishing well type thing that they set up. I don't know. It's really weird. But I mean, I think the best part about this movie was Doris Roberts, and she's like barely in it.
I know. I was going to say that earlier, and I was like, I wish there were more Doris Roberts scenes, because she was like, her character was so fun and like mm-hmm. happy and like actually magical.
Yeah. And so like when we first meet her, she's saving a mannequin that's dressed like Santa. She's saving a mannequin that was going to be thrown away or recycled from, you know, from that. And so she goes and puts him in storage or something. I don't know. And so I guess that's supposed to make us believe that right away that, okay, something is special here or something's different, because why would she go save a mannequin? I don't know. But yeah, her character was, she was kind of like a breath of fresh air in this movie, because I mean, it's Doris Roberts. Who doesn't like Doris Roberts?
Especially when she has like Matilda powers and can like move things.
Can you imagine if she had those in Everybody Loves Raymond?
She would just be slapping Raymond upside the head with like her magic power.
Or Deborah, probably.
Yeah. Like, wasn't me. I didn't do it. I'm across the room.
Oh man, now I want to watch Magic Everybody Loves Raymond.
I just want to watch Magic Grandma's Boy.
for real. But yeah, so she actually is like, you know, hey, you know, make a wish or whatever. And so the little girl Jessica and her friend, they grab a box from the wishing well, and it's, you know, it's usually like a little trinket or a mm-hmm. gift card or something. She opens it up and it says something like, you're entitled to like a free wish. And she's like, what? So her friend takes off and she goes to talk to Philomena, who's Doris Roberts, the, you know, the magic lady. And she's like, well, it says here you got a wish, so make a wish. And there's like a little necklace that kind of sparkles and, you know, ooh, crystal, or I don't know. I guess it's supposed to be a reference to magic of some sort.
Yeah, like a spark or like a Christmas light type.
Something like that. Yeah, that. It kind of reminded me of The Secret of Nim, the stone, okay. You know, the necklace that was like mm-hmm. magic, you know, that kind of a thing. So she's talking with Philomena, and she's like, you know, what do you want? And the little girl says, well, I, you know, I've never told anybody, but I really just want like a mom for the holidays. And so she's like, all right, you got it. And that's about it. I mean, yeah. That's literally like all we, you know, all we see, but she like points to a specific mannequin whose hair is styled exactly like Olivia Newton-John's. I mean, it's, you know, she's got that bang that's like combed down. Yeah. And I mean,
she's got that like one rogue stripe in the middle of her bang.
Exactly. Yeah. It's yeah. So she makes that wish, and she's like, all right, from midnight now until midnight on Christmas Eve, you're going to have a mom. And so she's like, yeah, whatever. She goes home, and that's where we meet her dad. And her dad, like I said, is that workaholic kind of guy. And as soon as he gets home, he's like, is there a fax for me? And whatever. And yeah. Anyway, we see her essentially, she's going to sleep. And this is where Olivia Newton-John makes her appearance at, and which is the strangest thing. It's like midnight.
Yeah.
And there's a knock on the door and she's like, oh, I answered your ad in the paper. And he's like, the dad's like, what ad? What are you talking about? And she gives him the paper and
it's just like barges in.
Yeah, she just comes in and he's like, did you do this? Asking the little girl. Like, how would the little girl have done that? Like,
also, seriously. Why is she up at midnight?
Exactly. She's 11. Come on now. There's so many odd choices here. And I mean, I don't know. I hope the book is better, but yeah, it was one of those that I was thrown for a loop so many times in this movie, you know?
Yeah, I was like so confused a lot of times. Most of the time it was like, why is she up? Why is she talking to a complete stranger? Yeah. Why is she going to school and like during Christmas time?
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yes. That whole thing there. I mean, it doesn't make sense, but unless it's a year-round school, I don't know. But
usually when I'm like, things don't make sense, and then I have to remember, this is a Christmas movie with magic, and
yeah. That's Newton true.
John yeah. is a mannequin come to life. I was Touché. Like, I gotta just trust this universe.
Yeah, good point. Good point. There's Christmas magic in this movie. I think it's Christmas magic. It could just be weird Philomena magic. I don't know, mannequin magic. But
I thought she would be like Santa's wife or something.
That's what I was expecting the whole time. And in a weird way, it kind of reminded me of those movies she did for Hallmark, like Mrs. Miracle, something like that. And, you know, but yeah, I kept waiting for like, you know, her to wink and her hair to turn white and she goes to the North Pole or something, but
she marries that Christmas Santa mannequin. It's like really her husband. That's what I thought in the beginning. That was her husband. That she was just like, come on, honey, I got to take you somewhere.
That would have been fun. He actually was kind of a fun Santa.
Yeah, he was like a fun, happy, ding dong, ding that type of Santa guy.
Pretty much, yeah, yeah. So I kind of liked him at least, but I mean, it's just odd. So yeah, the Olivia Newton-John shows up out of the blue at midnight. She's like, "I'm going to be your nanny." You this ad that you didn't write, but you actually wrote. We're gonna. And the dad just like, okay, well, I have a guest room. I mean, yeah, it's like, I think it's like a room above the garage, like a guest house type thing. Mm-hmm. And the dad I know is actually from, I mean, he wasn't famous, but he was kind of well known from Knott's Landing.
Yeah. You know, he was like a character actor because I'd seen him before. So I like looked him up.
Yeah.
He was like in the movie 10 as like a police officer. And I think he was on like General Hospital or something.
Yeah.
For like a while.
Yeah, exactly. And I just remember him because it was a spinoff of Dallas. And I never really I watched it a little bit growing up, but I mostly, I remembered it watching it about 10 years ago or so, maybe 13 mm-hmm. years ago. And it was like, oh, this show is actually kind of cool. And so it was a spinoff of that. And so that's how I know him, you know, from Knott's Landing. But other than that, I didn't really know him from anything else. You know, I didn't really recognize him. So, but it's not like he really acts up a storm here. He's just kind of like, oh, well, okay. Yeah. Take this room over here. And that's about it. And the interactions, I know I'm trying to go through the plot, but I just got to stop. The interactions between him and the nanny are the weirdest things ever because there's like no chemistry. There's like no sense of anything. And then all of a sudden he like goes to kiss her. And I was like, dude, what are you doing?
He's like, think about this. He like kisses her. He's like, okay.
That's how you do it in the 80s, I guess.
Oh, man.
It was so weird. Yeah, because he kisses her and she's like pulls away like, oh, I don't know. I got to go think. And so then, yeah, he does that. I mean, there was like no interaction to show that he was falling for her. He's just kind of like
staring at her creepily.
Like, it's been 8 years, you know, I need it or something. I don't know.
It's been 8 years. This is the first woman that's been in my house.
Pretty much. That's pretty much what happened.
He was acting like he was still in a soap opera. And this is like not a soap opera movie.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there was just so much more between the girl and Olivia than there was between, you know, the pair. And so it's kind of a shame because when that does happen, I mean, it's out of the blue, even at the end when, like, in order to save her so that she stays alive, spoilers forever. No one's going to watch this movie. even to do that, it just didn't really, there was no impact because, I mean, there was no buildup. So it's just like, oh, he kissed her once and that was it. And then he wants them all to fly to Hawaii together for New Year's and that's it.
He's so creeped out as some guy I knew for like a week was like, hey, I kissed you in a really awkward situation. I've also yelled at you previously for almost burning my house down. Yeah. Let's go to Hawaii, baby. You can go with my daughter. Hard no, hard pass. Just give me the money. I'll just take the ticket by myself.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it was, oh man. So that was kind of a shame. But I mean, it is at least a little sweet between, you know, her and the girl. You know, there's some moments there where it's like, oh, that was nice, you know, that kind of a thing. But it's just, it's one of those where, you know, she ends up like reading her diary and she ends up trying to do things for her, like she invites the boy that she likes over, which and again that subplot goes nowhere either.
Yeah,
there's like a lot of little threads that just absolutely go nowhere. And I think the most interesting thing to me was that she could bring mannequins to life. I totally would use that as like a superpower. Yeah, like I'd go fight crime with it or something. But or only like at malls.
Freak people out. Yeah. Only at Willimon's.
Only at Willimon's. Yep, that's it. But it's just, it was so weird. I mean, I don't know. So
this is a wacky movie.
It really is. So yeah, one of the things they do is they try to get a Christmas tree. And of course she has no money. She can't drive. So she's like, oh, don't worry. I'll go pretend I work at Willimon's and, you know, I'll get a job there. And so she gets the chauffeur in a car. It was what, a Cadillac, I think.
Oh, I don't even remember.
And so he's like, yeah, he'll drive us. No worries. He'll take us and, you know, we don't need a bus, nothing. We'll just, he'll take us and get a tree and we'll come back. And so then we kind of see the first glimpse of, well, mannequins can come to life, but they also have to go back to being mannequins.
Yeah. At one point she was like, oh, I could bring him to life for 2 hours at a time.
Yeah, exactly. 2 hours at a time. And she's like, oh, his name is Wilkins and he loves, you know, he loves to talk about cars and that's it. And and so the whole time it's supposed to be like a funny bit where he's like, oh, and this is the original whatever in this car and it's, you know, this and this. And my very first thought, which is kind of bad because I work in a Christmas store. And in our store, we actually have like a car and a motorcycle that, you know, with like a Santa on and things like that. But my first thought was like, why would they have a car in a store? It's like, oh, wait a minute. We do that too. Never mind. So that was kind of oops on my part. But it was one of those things that was so weird. And of course, all these things go missing from the store, but there's like extra money and the cash register. And
yeah.
I mean, just that whole subplot of the detective trying to find out who's taking these mannequins, like why are all these things happening? Oh, okay. And how did they get the car out of the store? Like, that's what I want to know.
It's magic. That's magic. She probably bopped the doors on the head or something.
I think that's going to be our answer for most of these questions here.
It's magic, Jerry. Don't question it.
There you go. Yeah. How did this happen? Magic. Oh, magic. Okay. Well, and so, you know, she's learning to be how to be human and she makes all sorts of mistakes. So with the Christmas tree, she has all these books on like how to be a good mom and how to be human that she took from the store. And so they find the tree that they like, but they don't have anything. So they kind of improvise. And so instead of lights, they use like candles on the tree, which, you know, was actually how they lit trees back, you know, when trees first came around, except, you know, they didn't pay any attention to it like you're supposed to when a tree is lit. And they ended up like setting the house on fire.
Oh, man. One of my favorite parts is in that scene. And when you asked me to like do a scene at the end of this, that's what I want to do.
Nice.
It's not even dialogue. I'm not going to say it now, so we can save it for the end.
Okay.
No dialogue. Oh man, that was literally my favorite part.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, it was something else. And he's there trying to put it out, and they're like running out of the house. And unfortunately, like all the pictures, which at this point are, you notice, are only of him and his deceased wife and, you know, the little girl, Jessica, when she was like, you know, three and younger, they're pretty much all destroyed. Which, you know, and he has a great scene with great quote unquote scene with her, where, you know, he's like, oh, you don't know how much we've lost. And she's like, yeah, it's just stuff from the past. No big deal. And,
and she's happy about it. Like, she's so chipper when she says it.
She is. She's like, don't you know you need to let go of that stuff so you can marry me? Yeah. That's like,
I just live 1 minute at a time. Oh, look, the minute's gone. Gotta live this minute.
Yeah, this minute. Yeah.
It's like, girl, calm down.
And he's just like so confused. And this is where, like, I mean, I think that's supposed to be a cute moment. Mm-hmm. And I think it's supposed to be like a hint at their first sign of, huh, there's something about this girl, you know, kind of romance. You know, there's always that one little in all those movies. But because of the way she acts, and I mean, there's just no further development, that it doesn't do anything except make you think, like, he's got to be thinking she's crazy, right? At this point. Yeah. I mean, like, if I were him, I totally would have thought she's crazy.
Yeah. Like, she would be like lacking emotion about what just happened. She almost, like, burned down a house.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. It's like, oh my goodness, I've hired a sociopath. Yeah. But no.
It was this crazy lady
living above my garage. Yeah. And instead it's like, huh, she's kind of cute or something, you know?
She's like, look at her little quirky self. I like this. She can burn down my house anytime.
Eat your heart out, Candace Cameron Bure. Or something like that. I don't know. But yeah, and of course, later on, you know, he has a moment with her. And again, it's supposed to be that building of a relationship, but she's basically kind of reprimands him for, like, not paying any attention to his daughter, for not listening. And he's like, you have no right to say that to me. And she's like, oh, I don't know what my rights are. You know, sorry, I'm still learning. And then she, like, leaves, and he's just so confused. And it's so weird.
she's like an alien.
Pretty much. Yeah. It's kind of like, what is it? My Stepmother's an Alien with Kim Basinger.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Discount version.
Yeah. Oh, poor Olivia Newton-John is.
I know.
The great value.
Kim Basinger. I know. She peaked at Grease, I guess.
Yeah.
But, or Xanadu, depending on how you look at it. But yeah. Yeah. Grease. We'll go with Grease.
She'll be forever known as Let's Get Physical.
Oh, yeah. And it's funny you mentioned that, because that was like one of my favorite songs when I was little. And I didn't know what it meant at all. I was just like, this is a fun song. I can bob my head to it.
That's how they get you, Jerry.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, you're right. So, you know, they kind of, Amy and Jessica, by the way, Olivia Newton-John's name is Amy. I think I've been calling her just Olivia.
It's like, it doesn't matter at this point.
Yeah, you're right. So Olivia Newton-John and the little girl, they kind of get into an argument because, you know, she's still learning. She invites her crush over, you know, to play with her, I guess, or to talk or whatever. She doesn't know. And she's like mortified. And she kind of freaks out and runs upstairs. And so the dad, of course, is left to, like, oh, what are you going to do? And he, you know, the little boy's like, I think I better go. So he leaves. And so then, you know, she's like, why did you do that? She's like, well, I know you like him. And she's like, how do you know that? Well, because I read your diary. But,
I invaded your privacy. It's cool.
I'm totally stealing that line later on when when I invade my daughter's privacy. No, I won't. But you know, so she reads her diary, so she invites the kid over, and at this point now she's regretting her wish. Mm-hmm. So later on that night, it's like raining, and she's like, I take back my wish. Everything's kind of, it's storming and everything's happening. And she kind of looks over through her window, and she can see that Olivia Newton-John is like freezing up and becoming a mannequin again. And so then she freaks out, and she's like, no, I love you. You know, and she runs and luckily it kind of undoes the spell, and so everything's restored, and so she's still alive. Yay.
Yeah, tears are magic, man.
they certainly are. Yeah, for real. Especially at the end. So of course they have some more adventures, and so she goes to see Philomena the next day and asks if like there's any way she can have her forever, and she's like, well, no, I mean, you said Christmas Eve and a deal's a deal. And she's like, no, but please. And she's like, well, okay, maybe there might be a way. I mean, I don't know, but there might be a way if we, whatever, like half an hour before midnight or something. I don't know if it's like a ritual or whatever they need to do.
They say that they're going to like, Philomena's going to go over to, you know, the little girl's house and hold on to Amy for as long as they can so she doesn't get pulled into the light or something. I didn't really understand it.
I didn't either. But again, it makes me wonder, like, what's up with these mannequins? Like, do they have a consciousness? And is it, like, in a certain place? Because later on, when she's, like, going to go back, you know, she keeps saying, I feel it pulling me, you know, or, like
yeah.
And so it's like, where are they? Is it, like, a limbo for mannequins or something?
Just imagine this, like, giant bad guy furnace that all of them are like drawn to and they have to go into there to die. I don't know. That's just what I keep imagining that they're drawn to.
Oh man, that's creepy.
Back at Williman's.
This is actually a Halloween movie. You didn't realize this is our Halloween episode. No. but yeah, so it, I mean, there's like a whole nother metaphysical level to this movie that I have no answers for except magic. She says, yeah, maybe we might be able to. And so they kind of, there's another plot that I keep forgetting about where she's going to be like in the play, like the school play, I guess, before off for vacation or whatever. And she has a part and she's like, you want me to help you learn your part? You know, that kind of a thing. And so the mannequin that the school was supposed to get, or I guess stature, whatever, of Santa wasn't going to arrive for some reason. And so they're like, I know where we can get a Santa statue. So they go back to Williman's and break in. And this is that scene you were talking about where, you know, the Santa comes to life and they're sneaking out through like the back hallways and tunnels and things like that. And so as they're like walking, they see all sorts of houses decorated with incandescent lights and things like that. And I only say incandescent because I sell LED lights. And so, so I know these are probably incandescents, but they're like going all out. There's this one house that has like a big star with the rays, you know, made out of lights going down. And there's like mannequin carolers and mannequin elves. And the Santa who's alive, he gets hit by a car in the middle of the street and turns into a mannequin again. And like, shatters essentially.
He like his arm breaks off and I think one of his legs break off,
something like that. Yeah, he's like in pieces.
I didn't understand this whole scene. I didn't understand any of what will happen next, like.
And it's funny because, you know, they're like, oh no, and the couple, the older couple that hit him in their car, get out and they're like, oh no, I swear he just jumped in front of me. And then he's like, oh well, you know, you shouldn't have had your doll in the street.
And this girl is like sobbing over this giant Santa doll.
And the guy's just like, yeah, whatever, and gets in his car and goes. And then this is where we get to see how magic Amy is as well, because she actually brings the carolers and the dwarfs and everything to life to help her collect all the pieces. Is that what it was? I think that's what it was.
So it looked like she brought like three or four elves to life and like three or four carolers to life.
Yeah.
All to pick up Santa's pieces, which only needed like maybe three people. They could have done it themselves. Like an 11-year-old and a 42-year-old woman could have done this themselves. Yes,
exactly.
And then they just like lay it down and they go, ooh, ah. And then Olivia Newton-John does more magic and then all the pieces come back together and then all of them are like, okay, we can go back to being little statues on front lawns. Like, it was completely useless.
You know what was really creepy is that the actors, they were made up, you know, in makeup to look like they were still kind of mannequin-ish. Mm-hmm. And that, I think that creeped me out more than anything else in this movie.
These people with like mannequin makeup. Because as soon as you see them, you know that they're going to come to life.
Pretty much,
you
yeah.
You can see it.
Yeah, pretty much. It was definitely, I mean, this movie is not subtle, like at all.
No.
But
no. It's very confusing.
It is, yeah.
And not subtle.
No. But it was really good. As far as like the this scene, I mean, it's weird, but at least the houses were Christmassy, so it was really good at like showing it's Christmas time.
They were decorated really pretty.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like that's about it. But at least it was that.
This whole scene was so confusing.
We'll always have our Christmas decorations. But yeah. So then they take the Santa, and so they use him in the school play. And the kids that were like making fun of her are also in the play. And everybody, it's this weird thing where everyone, like one kid at a time goes up and says something and comes out while this other kid is just playing on the drums. It's, I don't know what they were trying to do.
Was it even like a, like, what are they doing? Nativity? Was it even like a nativity play?
I don't think so.
Are they allowed to do that in the 90s? I don't know. She was an angel.
She was an angel, yeah. But Santa? I don't know. Anyway, so.
I don't know. Look,
so
I don't
she's
know.
Like forgetting her lines. And as she's like, she stumbles. And then the Santa mannequin, you know, kind of helps her. Remember
how does he know she lines? How does he know her lines?
I don't know. Maybe
magic.
That's right. I forgot our answer for everything. Magic. So he helps her with her line, and so then she's able to go, and she has all these big, broad motions, and you and me, and I mean everything, you know. And so then the whole audience applauds, and you know she steals the show. And the dad, he takes a picture of her for the first time in 8 years, and he's
with
involved.
A Polaroid.
Well, it's the 90s. I mean, you know, you got to take what you can get. Oh man. So, you know, that's like our first hint that, oh, wait, I think Amy is having some sort of effect on the dad.
Yeah, it's her magic. Look, it's going to work.
I guess so. Yeah, but it's weird because there's like another really creepy thing about this whole store and everything with those other mannequins that are like faceless pretty much. You know, it's like... And every time they would show them, like, I don't know if, like, they were just going to replace the other ones or...
It sounded or like they were going to replace the faceted mannequin with the faceless comb-over side hair.
Oh, yeah.
With the side-shaved head mannequins. I guess it was, like, it's supposed to be, like, they're soulless, so they're going to, like, replace these, like, living being mannequins with some soulless mannequins. I don't...
Yeah, it was odd, but every time they showed them and then they had like the weird music to it, it was just like, ooh, that is kind of creepy.
I didn't even notice the music at this point. So I was probably texting or something.
This is probably where you got like super bored and you're like, okay, I got to keep watching.
With the I started getting super bored after the Christmas tree got lit on fire.
Yeah, that was probably like the highlight of the movie.
Yeah.
And you're like, hey, action. And then that's about it. So, yeah, of course, it's like Christmas Eve, and the mall detective, it feels so weird saying mall detective, he takes her in because he notices something is suspicious, and they have the video of her, and I don't know, something. And
I do remember that in the beginning, when he first sees Olivia Newton-John's character, he, like, tries to buy her shoes. Like, he tries to, like, hit on her?
I guess. I don't know.
He asked her shoe size in a really creepy way. She started working at the Willimans after she came to life. Anyway, sorry, I was backtracking.
No, that's
that
okay.
Really creepy part.
All the men in this movie are weird. Yeah.
Even the little boys, they're all so weird little kids.
Just, yeah. Not, they're not the Hallmark men at all. I'll take a Hallmark dude any day.
They are no hunks of Hallmark.
Cameron Matheson, where are you? I think he and Brennan Elliott are like the only two names that I know of the dudes. I can name like a bunch of the ladies, but the dudes, I think I only know those two.
I know some of their names, but other ones I'm like, oh, that's that one.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. It's like, who's that guy from that one? Yeah.
he's from that one with the fake romance.
Wait a minute. Which one is that?
All of that.
So, yeah, they notice, or he notices that the little girl is wearing a bracelet that was like, I guess, one of the things that was missing. So
I think he had found it in the car.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah, yeah.
The mannequin Chrysler or whatever it was.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He found it and then he noticed like she had one similar or she was wearing it or something. And so then he takes her. He's like, I think we need to go see this lady here that just started working with or whatever. And she's like, no, she didn't steal it. It was me. And whatever. Anyway, so he tries to like go question them. And of course they can't do anything because they have no proof. And so they let him go. And this whole bit could have been just left out and they could have just focused on the romance and it would have been good. Yeah.
This is a rough movie.
I think we need to do a rewrite of it. So then it's Christmas Eve. They're celebrating, they're exchanging gifts. And this is when he gives her, what is it, like a luggage, basically?
Oh, yeah.
It's like luggage.
And yeah, they're sitting around the Christmas tree on Christmas Eve, and he, like, gives her luggage, and she opens it, and she's like, oh, I know exactly what this is. It's so expensive.
It's like $79.99.
She names the price, and he's like, I was like, way to bust him, girl. Like,
I know. I was thinking that, too. I was like, ooh, man, not good. Yeah. Not good. You should have gotten it somewhere else.
But she does accomplish, like, oh, this is expensive. And I guess whatever inflation would be from the 90s, I guess it would be pretty expensive.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I imagine it would be about, you know, maybe closer to 200 nowadays. I don't know. I'm not interested enough to actually, like, go look it up. But So, yeah, all that happens. And then that's when he gives her the three tickets to Hawaii. He wants her there with him on Christmas or on New Year's Eve. And
okay, so I just looked it up. It would be $151 today. Okay,
that's not that bad.
Just like that's a weird gift to give to your nanny. Of like,
when I first saw it, I was like, he wants her to leave. I mean, yeah. I don't.
I just thought it was an ugly purse.
I mean, I don't know.
He's like, read the envelope, and it's those three tickets to Hawaii. The three of them. And he's like, you can sleep in the little girl's room.
Bunk with her.
And what's her name? Jessica? Jessie?
Jessica, yeah.
I don't even know her.
Jessica, yeah. It was Jessica. Name.
I like how he tried to make it modest. You could sleep in her room. Okay. If some dude brought me to Hawaii, I don't think I'd be sleeping in another person's room.
Oh, man. And so, of course, she's like, no, I can't. Because previously she had a conversation with the little girl about feelings and love and, you know, the private emotions of that, you know, the diary stuff. And
yeah.
Anyway, so she's like, I can't. I don't have much time left. And he's like so confused. And she goes to pack. And then she's just kind of sitting there oddly, just weird on the bed, you know, all dressed, ready to just like be sucked back into the weird limbo realm.
Yeah.
and she's like, why are you dressed? And so then she's like, I feel it pulling me. And she just starts leaving. And so then she's like, Dad, we got to go save her. Come on, we got to get her.
Also at like, he's letting his daughter drag him out at like 11:45 PM.
Well, we've established at this point, he's a pretty bad dad. So I guess that's okay. But
I'll follow my daughter to a closed mall. We'll break in.
We'll break in. Why not? She knows the secret entrance. Yeah. And Philomena, who was supposed to be there at 11:30 to do the ritual or whatever it is that they were going to do, hold her tight. I don't know. She gets stuck in traffic. So which is so random. It's so random.
Why is there traffic that late at night? Oh my god,
on Christmas Eve, right?
Magic. That's why there's traffic.
Yeah, exactly. Magic. So they're there, and she's like, he's like, "What are you doing? Where are you? We need to go. Why are you here?" And she's like, "We have to save her." And she's like hugging the doll, Amy. And the dad's at this point, he's like pretty freaked out, like,
"Yeah,
that's a mannequin. What are you doing, girl?
Why are you hugging this like weird mannequin?"
You know, through his mind, he's thinking like, my daughter is crazy. Like, yeah. I need to get her checked out. Like, we need to go to.
I should have hugged her more in these last 8 years. Otherwise, she wouldn't be acting like this.
And she's like, "Dad, please." And so he's like, "All right, fine." And so he holds her hand. And then I guess that kind of brings her back.
He like holds her hand with one hand and like basically grabs the mannequin's butt with the other hand. Like, I watched where his hand went.
I noticed that too. Yeah.
I was like, "Okay, Dad. Okay, Doug Sheehan."
Hey, if you're gonna grab a mannequin, I mean, might as well. I don't know. It's so weird. But it works. I guess
the magic butt grab. She like appeared across the room
like,
in
hey.
Her like real body. She's like, "Oh, you got me out of that room." With a little, like, yeah. Little boop.
Yeah, okay, I see you.
There's more where that came from.
Pretty much.
Magic.
Oh, man. And so then, of course, the detective who is trying to, like, chase them, he's like, "I got them now." And, of course, the other mannequins were, like, trying to stop him, which was a crazy bit.
Yeah, the mannequins, the first time they broke in to get to Santa, mannequins were stopping that police officer too.
Yeah,
like one like mannequin had tripped him and like dropped a shawl or something over his face and giggled. I was like, that's so creepy. Like,
or they were just showing up in like they would just kind of appear in the camera feed, just like,
"Ooh." Oh my gosh. Like, that's some Doctor Who stuff. That's so creepy.
It was. Yeah, I'm telling you, it was like doll maker or puppet master or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It was odd.
My husband just watched a movie called like The Dolls, and it was just like about an old couple that like put like kidnapped people and put their souls in dolls and like,
oh
dolls,
my gosh.
Like kill people. That was like that, but bigger. I can't do it.
So while they were trying to go save Olivia Newton-John, the other mannequins also were helping again. And this time they were like, the driver Wilkins, like drove the car. and so the cop actually like, or detective, whatever, actually sees him move. And he's like, and he faints. And so of course, you know, he kind of comes to, and Philomena's like, "Come on, let's take you home." And then we kind of end the film with, you know, a picture of all of them together. Oh, by a burning candle.
By a burning candle, like another one?
That's exactly what I mean. It's like, oh, they just can't win with these candles here. But yeah, this movie was strange, and I don't know if I liked it.
I know if I liked it or not. I did not like it.
Gotcha. I wanted to like it. I did. I really wanted to like it.
Yeah.
I think, of course, again, like I said, the Doris Roberts parts were great. I liked the atmosphere when they were walking home with the lit up Christmas houses. That's really about it.
It feels like a Christmas movie. Like when you watch it, like when you watch bits and pieces of it, it feels like a Christmas movie. There's like eggnog, there's trees, there's candles, there's joy, there's magic, there's Doris Roberts with red hair. Like, yeah, it feels like a Christmas movie. But then when you put it all together and have it in one sitting, it's a
horror.
That, like, you know when you eat turkey and then you get tired, that like tryptophan or whatever?
Yeah.
It's tryptophan in movie form. Like, it's Christmassy. It's so great. Makes you feel Christmassy inside, but you just want to fall asleep the whole entire time.
Yeah. Yeah. I know what you mean. I know exactly what you mean. So, yeah. Like I said earlier, it is what it is.
And it is magic, but not the good kind, the bad
kind. It will magically put you to sleep. Yeah. Oh, 1990, how far we've come. But I usually have a segment here called Hap Hap Happiest Memory or Hap Hap Happiest Moment. And this one was really hard because I've never seen this. I have no nostalgia for it. So I really have like zero. But I got to ask, what would you say is your Hap Hap Happiest Memory moment? I don't know.
Nope. I'm like trying to think about how like I remember it as like a child.
Yeah.
And I just remember liking the magical parts, like when she would bring all those mannequins to life. I thought that was like really fun and like happy, and it like warms my little heart.
Yeah.
But like that's really all I remember, because like, you know, when we moved here to the US, I just remember watching like a lot of movies.
Mm-hmm.
So it was mostly not really adult movies, but like not super a lot of cartoons.
Right, right.
It was just like stuff like my mom was a stay-at-home mom for like a little while when I was like 2 and 3. So I would just like watch movies that she wanted to watch.
Right, but right.
I have all those feelings, but the actual movie itself, nope. It can go get recycled.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Same here. I really tried to find at least the happiest moment in this movie, and I think it would be when the tree was all decorated and lit before it caught fire.
Yeah, like
that was nice.
Were having like the eggnog and had that like warm, just like that warm fuzzy moment.
Yeah, pretty much. That's about it, I think. Yep. But now we come to my favorite part of the show, which is a little segment I like to call Gag Me with the Spoon. So this is where we do our best impressions of our least favorite part of the movie.
Oh my gosh.
And I'll leave it up to the listeners to vote, and winner will get a totally rad Christmas sticker, unless I win, in which I get nothing. But I think you're safe because I haven't won yet.
Okay.
out of all the episodes I've done, and I still haven't won, so you're probably pretty safe. As a guest, I'll let you go first. Just kind of set up the scene for us.
Okay. The thing is, my favorite worst scene, it has no dialogue. So it's when the tree has just gotten on fire, and it's like the dad and Olivia Newton-John are in the room, and she sees that the tree's on fire. They're having like this intense moment in their eyes, like looking at each other. And then the tree comes on, like the candle falls, the tree goes on fire. And then he runs out the room and he's like, fire extinguisher. And she just kind of perkily looks up, has a mug of eggnog in her hand, goes over to the blazing tree, and then just daintily pours like the 2 ounces of eggnog on the tree, and was like, I'm a hero. And the dad is like running back frantically in. He's like, save Jessica. And then she's like, cool. And then a few minutes later, she's like, do you want gazpacho?
Yeah.
That's it.
That's good. For me, I couldn't decide between two, but I think I'm going to go with the first one. So it was in the beginning when Jessica was talking to her friend. And I mean, there was a lot of cringeworthy moments here, but this was a joke that just, I really cringed hard at this one. And so, you know, she's like, does your mom ever talk to you about things like that? And the friend's like, crushes? Oh yeah. Like when she had them all the time during the Industrial Revolution.
Like her mom's super old.
It's like, come on. And old mom jokes. Like, yeah. So anyway, that was, I will leave it up to you listeners. you can vote between Holly and myself. But like I said, I think you're safe because I haven't won yet. So
it's okay. I mean, vote for Jerry, guys. He needs this after watching this movie. He needs a W.
I do. At the same time, I kind of don't want to win now.
Yeah. Also, feel free to not vote for Jerry and get a sticker for the winner.
Yay. Oh, man. But, you know, I mean, G.I. Joe, they you know, they taught us that knowing is half the battle. So what would you say is the other half?
Lord, you know what? I was trying to think of this. The other half is don't watch this movie. Just also keep fire away from trees. Use LED lights. I think Jerry can help you out with those.
I sure can. Nice plug.
Don't use real candles. Don't let nannies from Australia come into your house at midnight.
Oh, man.
And, like, don't make wishes and steal mall mannequin Santas.
that's actually kind of close to what mine was. If knowing is half the battle, the other half is being kind to complete strangers that show up at your house at midnight because you never know if they're really a mannequin.
They're a magic mannequin that can bop other mannequins on the forehead and bring them to life.
Bring them to life. Oh, man.
This is how it started.
I mean, the special effects were pretty terrible. I mean, come on, Disney, you could have done better. I know it was a made-for-TV movie, but come on.
You could have had Olivia Newton-John in it. You could have done better.
She deserves better. Oh, man. Holly, it's been a lot of fun talking about this terrible movie with you.
Same. I love talking about awful movies. Usually I love them when they're awful, but I did not love this one.
this one was an oof, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, I got to ask, what do you want to plug? You know, tell me about your show.
So we, my co-host Scarlett and I, we have a podcast called Netflixness, and we talk about Netflix Christmas movies, Hulu, Prime, Disney Plus, and sometimes we'll have guests on, but it's usually the two of us just talking about the movies. And then we always rate the kisses because that's like the juicy part, right? Mm-hmm. So we rate the kisses on a scale of 1 to 5, 1 being a partridge in a pear tree and then 5 being 5 golden rings. So we...
Good scale.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun. Sometimes we'll do act outs of like real cheesy scenes. Sometimes we won't because we've just given up and we're so tired of talking about the movie. Cough, 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 A Christmas Wedding Planner. And then we have like special episodes on our Patreon that haven't been released to the public that are only for our patrons. And then we've got I do have a Netflix, but.
I hope so, if that's the basis of your show.
I know, right? But we have an Instagram where I'll post pictures and we can talk about fun stuff and see, like talk about the movies that are coming out and what that we've seen. And then upcoming movies that we'll talk about. And then I think we have a Twitter. I don't know. And then you can always email us with whatever questions you have. But yeah, we're at Netflixmas Podcast on most things. Netflixmaspodcast@gmail.com. You can find Netflixmas Podcast on Patreon and Ko-fi if you want to help us run our podcast. And then I think Twitter is Netflixmas Pod.
Right on.
It's fun. It's a fun podcast. I love doing it.
Right on, yeah.
And I love being on your podcast.
Thank you, yeah.
My husband loves the 80s.
Nice. Well, so do I, yeah. yeah, definitely check them out. They're funny. It's always a great time. And they do, yeah, they're terrible, but they're fun movies that they cover. So
we also swear a lot, but I tried to be good at not swear on this one.
Thank you.
I think I said damn twice now, but okay,
sometimes you have to. I just covered Black Adder's Christmas Carol with Adam from Merry Britsmas, and there's a part where you kind of have to, unfortunately. I mean, it is what it is, and you know, it's just, yeah, it's fun. So yeah, for sure, check them out. Holly, again, thank you so much for coming on. I really did have a lot of fun.
Thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun to talk about this this flaming Christmas tree of a movie.
Well, you know what? We'll have to find another one and do it again sometime. And maybe next time
for sure.
Carla can join us.
Yeah, hopefully she wasn't feeling good. And I really hope it's seasonal. I just like hope it's seasonal.
Well, I understand. I mean, I actually got it. I had it about 5 weeks ago. So luckily I was like super mild. I mean, nothing bad. I was literally just kind of, you know, exercising and whatever in place in my room. Cause I was bored out of my mind, you know, just watching TV. And so, I mean, it really wasn't bad at all, at least for me. And I'm, you know, I hate for when people get it, because I never know if it's going to be bad for them or not. And so,
if I ever get COVID and my like case is mild, my anxiety will kill me.
I understand. When I got that result, I was like, oh no, because my brother had had it and it was like really bad for him. I mean, he like could barely get out of bed for like 3 weeks. And so, you know, the first thing he said was like, as soon as he started drinking like Gatorade and, you know, stuff like that, he started feeling like tons better. So I was just like hydrating like crazy. I was downing like, I don't know how many bottles of water and Gatorade like a day. I mean, it was...
I will have an IV of orange juice in me at all times.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You better believe I was taking like 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C. Everything was like, okay, well, it really wasn't that bad. But,
I heard kimchi does like really good. Like,
oh, yeah.
It fights it off really well, or like it studies it. I don't know. Anyway, but I have made so much kimchi. I have giant bottles, giant jars in my fridge of kimchi, and I will just eat it all.
Well, I hope for your sake, if you ever get it, that it works. And I hope you never get it, first of all. But on that note, I think I will end it by saying Santa doesn't know where to start. Solving problems is not his line. It's everyone's. It's yours. It's mine. So if it's the world you want to save, you have to be a lot more brave. So don't put it all on Santa or some little elf. This is something you do yourself by checking us out on our social media pages, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And if you're feeling like you've just gotten a magic wish, leave us a review on iTunes. Not only does it help us reach more people, but you also get a free sticker. Now don't forget to vote. Later, dudes.
What's your favorite guilty pleasure? Is it watching cheesy Christmas romances, no matter what time of year it is? For Holly Cuomo and Scarlett Alexandra, this is it. These two host the Netflixmas podcast, where they talk about the best, the worst, and the cringiest Christmas romances from all your favorite streaming services. You can listen today on Spotify, iTunes, and Podbean. And don't forget to check out their Patreon for bonus episodes. Have a very merry Netflixmas and a sappy new year.